today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Uber and Lyft suspend nearly 200 drivers with Portland's assistance, and a legendary piece of American travel, the dining car on the train, is going away.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we talk a little about Real ID, and Mark reveals why it seems that every website that you visit selling the last room in the hotel will explain why it's true and a lie at the same time.
Steve LaRosa joins us at 3:35 for one of his great What's Going On segments. Find out about cool stuff happening close to home.
At 3:50, I sit down with my buddy Al Petrelli from TSO, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. We're going to talk about the annual Christmas show coming to Sacramento.
Travel can be around the world or down the street, and either way, you'll hear all about it on the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All I want on an man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Hey there. Once again, it is Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a fabulous Sunday. Thank you so much for, you know, tuning in and spending some time with us. Now, don't forget, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. We've got all kinds of great travel tips and fun information there, as well as links to our special guests that we'll have on the program today. Mark, good to see you. How you been?
Good to see you, Mr. Romano. I've been roaming around on the eastern part of the country most of the week.
What was the occasion?
We took one of our famous mystery tours, and we went to Newport, which is where there are a lot of people live there who had a lot of money. But some of them still do live there, and beautiful mansions. You can tour them, and every year they have a food and wine festival where you pay upwards of $200 a ticket, and you go in, and everything is free, and you just gorge yourself for 3 hours, and that was wonderful. We did that. We went to a place called Block Island, which not everybody has heard of Block Island.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Everybody's heard of Nantucket and
right.
Martha's Vineyard. Well, mm-hmm. Kind of in that same area is a little island that's off the coast of Rhode Island by about 13, 14 miles called Block Island. I call it the poor man's Nantucket. It's kind of an escape place, perhaps not as exclusive as the other two places that I mentioned, but nonetheless, a fun place to visit. And then we went to a thing called the Big E. Now, if there's anybody listening who's from the Northeast, they surely know what I'm talking about and probably have been there. The Big E is the state fair for six states.
Wow.
Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine.
Nice.
All have one state fair every year, and it's called the Big E. It's held in Springfield, Massachusetts, so kind of a central area.
What does the E stand for?
Exposition.
Okay, the Big E, the Big Exposition.
So it's just like a giant state fair, except imagine that instead of there just being a California building, there's a building for each one of the states, and of course, all kinds of fair food that you can imagine, plus specialties from each one of those states. So you can eat so much food that, you know, nope, you would just bust and, you know, nobody would ever hear from you again.
So the Big E was happening. It happens this time of the year.
It goes on for 17 days, three weekends.
Okay.
And it's the last half of September every year. So if you're ever in Massachusetts or any of those places, it really was a lot of fun. Very, very clean. And we really had a good time. Went to an old New England village called Old Sturbridge Village. And that was kind of interesting. It's kind of a living history museum. So it was a lot of fun. We had a good time, had some wonderful travelers with us. And, of course, mystery tours are where people pay a lot of money and they don't really know where they're going until they get there, unless they're able to decipher some of our clues that we give them. Of course, we tell them, you know, what kind of weather to expect and stuff like that.
But, well, I think this was probably a really neat, mystery trip. You had a lot of stuff that I don't think people would have ever really thought about doing on their own. So
nope.
I think it was a good payoff for Sports Leisure.
We had a great time. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like hobnobbing with people who can afford $200 tickets at a wine and food Food Festival. We were all poor people from Sacramento, but we did pretty good. We held our nose up in the air, and you know, we wore our best clothes. No cut-off shorts or anything, you know, that looked a little ragged. We didn't want to, you know, bring down the whole place.
Well, I can't wait to see the pictures. All right. We are the Travel Guys, and at the top of the Travel Guys radio program, we do our best to bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. So with that, Mark, what you got in the news today?
Well, Tom, Southwest Airlines is ramping up the whole Hawaii thing. It took a long time to get going. You know, it was almost a year ago this time when we started talking about Southwest flying to Hawaii from Sacramento. Indeed, the Honolulu flights start in January. Flights to Maui every day will start in March. So now you'll have a choice of two airlines. By the spring, you'll have two airlines flying every day to Honolulu, two flying every day to Maui, and one flying 3 days a week to the Big Island. And who knows if Southwest might not throw something else in. The other thing that's really important, too, is that Southwest, with these increased frequencies, is going to be able to create a pretty solid inter-island schedule where they're running 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day between most of the islands. So that's really putting the pressure on pricing over there. Folks who go to Hawaii know that an inter-island flight these days can be $100, even more than that. And so Southwest is going to bring a little bit of sanity to that.
Yeah, you know, for years back, Honolulu, Hawaii Air and Aloha kind of dominated the shuttle service. And then Aloha went away.
Yep, they went out of business.
And so it's only been Hawaii?
Been Hawaiian with just a couple of small competitors and who really couldn't impact, they didn't have enough lift to impact the market enough. But of course, Southwest bringing in, you know, if they're going to run 4 or 5 times a day between Honolulu and Kona, why then, and let's say that Hawaiian runs 10, 12 times a day, well, you got a competitor that's running that often. They're going to, if their prices are lower, they're going to impact your patronage. So it's a good thing for consumers. When Southwest Airlines picks up a route, history tells us that within 6 months later, the fares are an average of about 30% lower on that route than they were before Southwest came to town. So it's always good to have Southwest show up. We mentioned in the headlines, Tom, that an American tradition is going away. Amtrak is getting rid of their dining cars.
Oh, you know, that's going to be disappointing for a lot of people, but then I don't know. I haven't dined on a dining car. It's gone the same way as like airplane meals or something?
Well, it's kind of the thing, Tom, is that it's expensive to prepare meals on the fly. And Amtrak for many years was known for having a chef on board who could fix you really great food and could also be a... you know, the food was fun. I mean, it was exclusive, and it was kind of nice to eat on the trains. It was hit and miss, but now it's going to be just pre-prepared foods on board, and so that will cost you a little bit less. It's on Amtrak's one-night routes on the East Coast, starts up first in October, and by the end of next year, it will also spread to the West Coast route. So they
are physically going to remove the dining car.
Well, no, you'll still be able to eat on the train, but the type of food that you get in the dining car will be considerably different.
I see. Okay, yeah.
No
yeah.
tablecloths in China and all of that kind of stuff.
Got it. All right.
Way too expensive. The FAA, we talked about this a few months ago, the FAA is going to test if U.S. airline seats are too small for safe evacuation. The way they're going to do this is in the month of November, they are going to, it will involve 72 boardings and unboardings of aircraft with passengers on board. They are going to make sure that people can get off the plane safely and in time. The previous standard has been 90 seconds to get everybody out of an aircraft. So we'll see.
That seems quick to me.
It does. Also, the other thing is that they've seen recently in a couple of foreign air crashes is that the people tend to want to get their overhead luggage out.
Yeah, boy.
So when they do that test, you can be sure that the travel guys will let you know exactly what all is going on there.
Now, do I have to assume that when they do tests like this, they get like volunteer passengers?
That's it. And it's not an airplane that's having a real emergency landing. They'll use an airplane that's in mothballs in the desert, or they'll have somebody fly an aircraft in. something it represents, and they'll do them on all different types, you know, Airbuses, 737s, all kinds of Embraers, all kinds of different planes.
Gee, does this mean if it goes badly, we might get one?
Well, with Spirit Airlines, as little as 27 inches. You know, people complain on United, it's 31 inches of pitch. And all I have to say is that the next time you get on a United plane and you think it's tough, think about losing 4 inches of that leg room.
Oh, my gosh.
And think about what that would be like and how where would you put everything? It's just crazy. Uber and Lyft, this is kind of big story here. In Portland, Oregon, the Portland Transportation Commission up there has partnered with Uber and Lyft. Well, I don't know if partnered is the right word, but over 150 Uber and Lyft drivers have been suspended for offenses that should have blocked them from working for the rideshare companies in the first place. They were confirmed by the Portland Department of Transportation. In some cases, they completely revoked permits for the workers in question. Two of the Lyft drivers were convicted felons. One had a sexual assault conviction. The second had been convicted of assault with intent to murder. So this is a pretty big deal. They don't test all of the guys. The Portland Bureau of Transportation said for 80 people a month, we do the full background check. We do criminal history. And if the person is on the sex offender list. So this isn't testing all of the drivers. They tested some, and this caused Uber and Lyft to go back. And this really brings up, I think, an important question. We all get into these cars every day, and
right.
We don't know these people. They don't have yellow taxi on the side or, you know, a special taxi license. They're not registered with anybody. Rumor has it now that Uber doesn't even inspect the cars anymore, that only Lyft is inspecting cars. So I use them myself.
Well, so do I. And I don't know why I was so naive to think that every driver had a background check.
Yeah, well, for its part, Lyft told ABC News that safety is a key priority for the company, of course. Their statement on the matter also noted that since the company's earliest operations, its products and policies have been built on a focus of safety. That sounds like a lot of corporate BS. All those apply to drive with Lyft are screened for criminal offenses and driving incidents. Lyft was the first rideshare company to institute criminal background checks. Just this summer, we announced an expansion of our criminal background check process to include continuous monitoring as well as a new enhanced identity verification process. Okay. All I can say is gulp. I'm sure people are not going to stop using rideshare, but it seems like there perhaps needs to be a little bit more protection for those of us who it's worth thinking about. It's food for thought. Something on a little brighter note here. Were you a fan of the Golden Girls, Tom?
I was. I loved the Golden Girls. I even catch them on reruns once in a while when nobody's looking. I'll watch.
It's a great TV show, and yes, it's going to live on forever. Well, there is a Golden Girls-themed cruise set to sail in 2020. A company called Flip Phone is hosting a Golden Girls fan cruise that will depart from Miami, Florida on February the 24th of next year. You can participate in Golden Girls trivia game or dress up as your favorite Golden Girl in their costume contest. There will be a Rusty Anchor karaoke party, a Shady Pines craft corner. These, of course, are places from the show.
Right.
A Key West Gold Girls themed bar crawl, Dorothy's Bingo, a St. Olaf dance party, and a fancy dinner. So if you're interested, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There is a link there on the Golden Girls cruise, which is going next February.
Yeah, and I would guess there's probably a disclaimer saying that actually none of the cast from the Golden Girls will actually be on board.
You think?
I don't know. There may be a surprise somewhere. there are some that are still around.
Well preserved. Anyway, that sounds like a heck of a lot of fun if you were a fan of the Golden Girls, and that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys once again. TravelGuysRadio.com is where you want to check us out. You can also go there for our podcasts if you'd like to hear it all again. Coming up, more information to make you a smarter traveler about those real IDs. And when you see a third-party website saying that there's only one room left, is that a truth or is that a lie? All that coming up here on The Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
You found it. The Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And at 3:20 pretty much every week on Sunday. We do a little segment called the Smarter Traveler segment. And today, Mark, we got a couple of topics. Where do you want to start?
Well, we do. Let's start with this real ID thing. There are lots of notices in the paper and public service announcements all over the place, and that's going to be going on a lot because more than half of the American public, when surveyed, said they don't know what a real ID is, and they didn't know there was a deadline a year from now. That's 57%. So imagine if 57%, imagine if 7% of the people traveling on any given day showed up at the airport without the right ID.
Oh, boy.
I mean, not only are you going to have security clearance problems, but think of the rebooking and all of those issues.
Is this going on all over the country?
This is all over the country. It was the Real ID Act was passed, get this, back in 2005. They've just been stalling about putting it into effect. And so October 1st of next year is the deal. Now, it's been possible up to this point, and still is at this point in time, to get a license renewal and not get a real ID. Because I did it in June, it's easier to not do the real ID. Mark, who got his license renewed in June, will now have to go back and get his license renewed again before next October because Mark's license that he got in June will not let him on an airplane.
I went in January, got my license renewed. I actually asked at that time, let's get this going. And they go, oh, well, you know what? You're just about 2 weeks too soon.
Ah, okay. Well, now it's, and you mentioned, Tom, and this is great. You mentioned that Mrs. Romano, Stephanie, was going to go in and get hers in a week or so. And so we'll be able to have our very own travel guy's guinea pig.
Yes, we will.
Stephanie will get her on the radio and she can talk about, because you said there's all kinds of forms to fill out and besides, as you can do a lot of that work in advance.
Mm-hmm. Do it online at the DMV's website to kind of, you know, expedite things.
So we will have, we'll take a program here in a few weeks and try to walk you through this. But basically, if you're, go take out your license, and your license, a few of the states have a star up in the corner. If you don't have that up there, why then you don't have a real ID. So it's time to consider it. If you are getting your license renewed, why would you do it now and then turn out that you would have to go back and do it again immediately? So consider the possibility, if you would, of getting your real ID now. Because here's the other thing. Guess what? We're going to get the next August or September, and everybody and their uncle is going to be flooding the DMV
right,
to try to get this at the same time.
One of the things that that we've been doing, and I know others that have, and I encourage you to do, is make sure you know where your birth certificate is. Okay, so if you hunt it down, and if you have to go to the county that you were born in, and get a new one. If you've been married and divorced, you may need a certificate of from your divorce. So because you're going to have, you're going to have a name change and all of that counts. If you're like a lot of us and you start paying all your bills online and you don't get anything in the mail anymore, mm-hmm, from any kind of official location,
right,
that has a mailing address to you, your mailing address with your name on it, because you're going to need one or two pieces of that too. Okay. And we'll continue to bring you up to date on exactly what it is, but I'd start gathering that stuff.
Well, and you can go online. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we have posted a thing, Real ID Ready, and you can find out about it. I mentioned that a Real ID license has a star in the upper right-hand corner of the card. Five states have a U.S. flag up in the right-hand corner. So if you're Minnesota, New York, Vermont, Washington, or Montana, they have a U.S. flag. Everybody else has a star. If you don't see a star or a U.S. flag up in the right-hand corner of your driver's license, then you do not have a real ID. And my suggestion to you is that no matter what anybody has told you, you're going to need that because to get on an airplane soon, first of October of next year, you're going to have that or they're not going to let you on. Now, there are some other things that you can get on board with. A military ID. Of course, we've talked about those passport cards, which will get you into Canada and Mexico in a vehicle. but they won't get you on an airplane. So if you're in the military, also if you have a passport, you do not have to have a real ID. But of course, you'll have to carry your passport with you at all times, even on domestic flights. So this is something we will talk about more. You don't need to panic. It's not something you have to do right now. But if we can encourage you to do it before the last minute, then we will have done our job as travel guides.
There you go. All right, moving on. Part two of our Make You a Smarter Traveler.
Part two. You go online to ABC travel website, mm-hmm. and you look there at a hotel, and you see it says only one room left.
Yeah.
And you look at the next hotel, and it says only one room left. And the next one says, only one room at this price. Only two at this price.
Sounds
and
like,
all these websites you go to and you're thinking, my God, there's only one room left in the hotel. I better reserve it immediately. Well, it is true that there is only one room left. What they haven't told you is there's only one room left in the inventory that the hotel allows them to sell. So in many cases, there are all of these different websites. Let's say you've got a 200-room hotel. So you're not going to tell these guys, here's a block of 10 rooms to sell for every night. You're going to say, here's one room to sell. When you sell that one, come back to us and we'll give you another one.
Fascinating.
Here's two rooms to sell. When you sell those, come back, we'll give you two more. So when they say it's the last room left, technically, they are telling you the truth. It is the last room left on their website, but in most all cases, it is not the last room left in the hotel. And of course, as we've suggested to folks many times on this program, shop around, find the best price you can, then go directly to the supplier's website and see if you can get the exact same price there. Because if you can get the exact same price from the supplier that you could get from a third-party website, it's always to your advantage to book it directly with the supplier. So if you see that thing that says last one or last, same thing with airlines, last ticket. Now, if you're on the United Airlines site and it says one ticket left at this price, then indeed, that means there is only one ticket left at that price on that airplane.
Got it.
So when you get to the source, it really does become a situation where they are probably telling you the truth, and you will see more of those when you get to the source. It will say so many left at this price. So that gives you some idea that they may not be sold out, but as we all know, airfare and hotel rooms and stuff are supply and demand things. Prices change pretty frequently. So they might look at it and say, gee, we can get more money. We can't get as much money. We want to lower this. We want to raise this, etc.
Well, there you go. Okay, that's great information.
Well, hopefully it'll make you a little bit smarter traveler. You don't have to worry that if you don't book in 2 minutes, you won't get that very last room in the hotel. And please, please try to go to that direct to the supplier when you can.
All right. Coming up after the news, we're going to visit with Steve LaRosa. We've got some great what's going on all over Northern California to share with you. And then Al Petrelli joins us at the end of the program. Talk about the Christmas program with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's all coming up here on The Travel Guys.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking it to California. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there.
Hey there, it's Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman, and Steve LaRosa. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and it's that time that we bring in Steve to check out all the great activities that are going on Northern California. We refer to it as What's Going On. Hey, what's going on, Steve?
Well, you know, and again, I'd like to thank Marvin Gaye for that lovely introduction.
Yeah.
It's time for what's happening around the area.
All right.
It's and called... when I say the area, I mean the area.
All right. Well, let's start at the top and work our way all around Northern California.
Okay, Tom. The first one that we're going to mention is the Festival of the Night. Now, this takes place at the Amador County Fairgrounds in Plymouth. And that's going to be Saturday, October 19th from 3 p.m. to midnight. There'll be a lot of jazz, a lot of magic, some dancing, Cajun food, and it's a Halloween-themed event.
All right. Yeah.
And then here in Sacramento, it's the ninth year for Cruise Fest on Fulton Avenue, and we have a special guest with us today.
Outstanding. We do. We have Melinda Epler. She is the CEO of Fulton Avenue Association, here to tell us all about what's happening in 2019 at Cruise Fest on Fulton Avenue. Melinda, welcome to the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much. Saturday, October 5th, we have Cruise Fest 2019. Cruise Fest is a half-day family event. It starts at 3 o'clock with a cruise on Fulton Avenue between Marconi and El Camino. We shut down Fulton Avenue in that long stretch. We have up to 350, 380 cars, all makes and models, cruising around the circuit. And it is a lively time and a little bit of revving, but basically some, just kind of some soft, mellow cruising. And it's quite a sight. And at the same time, we'll have live music in the center of the block. We've got 7 food trucks coming, a beer garden, and all of this goes from 3 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. on Fulton Avenue. All proceeds from this event benefit the California Auto Museum. They're our partner in this. And to register for this event, you can go to calautomuseum.org/cruisefest or give the museum a call. And we hope to see lots of friendly family faces that day. It truly is a wonderful family event for all.
Melinda, you're saying that if you have an automobile and you'd like to be in the Cruise Fest, you would do this, you register your automobile for the Cruise Fest, and we will put a link to the website as to where you can do that at travelguysradio.com. So there's still time if you want to get your car in?
There certainly is. To pre-register is more ideal just because you can be sure that you've got a spot. We have sold out in the past. It's $25 to register your car. And as I mentioned, you go to calautomuseum.org/cruisefest, or you can give the museum a call. And we also accept registrations day of event. And those occur at 2500 Marconi, which is just around the corner from the corner of Marconi and Fulton Avenue. You bring your car in there. You pay a slightly higher fee of $45 for on day of registration, but that'll get you into the cruise that day, assuming there's room.
And Tom,
yeah,
that tardy goes on their permanent record.
By the way,
they don't get the early bird notification next time around. And next time around's our 10th annual, so we're going to have an extra special event next.
Well,
time.
Outstanding. Yeah, free, by the way, free to spectators, those that are coming to watch and enjoy Cruise Fest on Fulton Avenue. Stephen, you and I were talking the other day about all the unusual and unique automobiles and forms of transportation that show up. What do we got this year?
Oh, it's big, Tom.
How big?
For instance, you may have heard of the famous Save Mart shopping cart. It's a 12-foot tall, mega motorized shopping cart. And Tom, listen to this. It's powered by a 454 Chevy engine, and it can accommodate a handful of passengers and, I like to say, a few bags of groceries. We also have, this is a big popular one, Tribute Team American Graffiti, those cars. These are clones of the actual vehicles from the movie, like the 32 Ford Coupe that was driven by John Milner, the character in the movie, Harrison Ford's 55 Chevy, mm-hmm. Ron Howard's 58 Impala, and my favorite, Toad's Vespa. This guy brings a clone of the Vespa. He brings it down from Oregon. But the best part is, you may remember that scene in the movie where Toad accidentally pops the clutch and crashes into the garbage can. This guy has created a clone of the garbage can, dent included. And Wild Bill of Wild Bill's Tattoos is bringing three of his really unusual collectible cars, one of them being a 2005 Panos Esperante. I mean, you're going to see GTOs, Corvettes, Miatas, 55 Chevys. All kinds of
Model
beautiful
A,
classic cars. Yeah, Model A's and Model T's.
Our special guest here on the Travel Guys, Melinda Epler, CEO of Fulton Avenue Association, talking about the Cruise Fest on Fulton Avenue. Any special advice, if you will, Melinda, to those that are coming that you would like to share with them here on the Travel Guys before we let you go?
I would say try to get there a little bit early. Bring your soccer chair or your beach chair with you so you can relax a little bit if you find a nice spot, and park outside of the perimeter and walk in. There is plenty of public parking around the intersections of El Camino and Marconi, and find yourself that spot and get in there by 3 o'clock so you don't miss the cruise start.
Outstanding. Don't forget, 3 p.m. By the way, again, go to travelguysradio.com. We'll have a link there, and again, a link to also register, as well as more information about Cruise Fest on Fulton Avenue. Thanks, Melinda. We'll see you there.
Thank you, Travel Guys.
Okay, Steve, what else have you got for us today?
Well, two classics from the past, Tom. Dave Mason and Richie Furay are doing a combination Feeling All Right tour. Now, you may remember, well, of course you remember, Dave Mason was with Traffic, and Richie Furay, who's been on the Travel Guys before, he of the Buffalo Springfield in Poco. Now, they're going to be performing on Wednesday, October 2nd at 8 p.m. in the Lincoln Theater. It's 100 California Drive in Yountville. We also have, here in Sacramento, Jake Shima Bukuro.
Good. You did a great job on that. I interviewed Jake. In fact, we interviewed Jake for the Travel Guys once. He's amazing. He was playing at that particular time at the Crest Theater. But anyway, he's coming back to town.
Yeah, this guy plays the ukulele, but...
I'm going to have to pause for a moment.
Go.
Because Jake corrected me. It's ukulele.
Oh, okay.
I always went ukulele, but Jake cleared it up. For those that are ukulele aficionados... Want to get it right for him. Okay. So he is the king of the ukulele.
Yeah, absolutely. And he will. What's great about him is he'll play everything from Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody to Jimi Hendrix's Little Wing. And he has a couple of guys that accompany him on guitar and bass. It's a great show. And this is Tuesday, October 1st, 7:30 at the Harris Center in Folsom. And then...
Mm-hmm.
More in the Halloween theme, the Full Moon Festival at the Strad Meadery in Rancho Cordova, Tom. And that's 2539 Mercantile Drive, presented by the Black Hat Society. Ask me, what is the Black Hat?
Yeah, I know what mead is, but I do not know what the Black Hat Society is.
Well, I'm told they're witches.
Oh, whoa. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
So we're on a witch hunt.
All right.
And this is Saturday, October 12th. 2 to 10, there's going to be artisan vendors, tarot readers, live entertainment, music, food trucks, and, of course, mead under the full moon. And finally, let's finish off with the quickies. There's still tickets available for comedian Jack Gallagher's one-man show at the Sophia in Sacramento. I've seen it. It's a fantastic show, as all of his are. And that's Tuesdays through Saturday through October 10th. A number of shows, evening, and there's some matinees. And... also, Russ Woody, my former intern, he was an Emmy winner for writing and producing Murphy Brown. He also wrote for Sybil and Mad About You, a number of others, and he's doing a book promo tour. His book is entitled Tuesdays with Ted, and it chronicles his father's last days and his dad's relationship with actor Ted Danson. I've read the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great book. It's a quick read. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll laugh again, and you'll cry again. And it's really a well-done book. He did a great job.
Well, outstanding. Hey, we're all up to date then. What's going on in Northern California? Coming up after the break, we're joined by Al Petrelli with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're coming November 29th. Every year we sit down and visit with Al about the show. A lot of new tricks this year. You're not going to want to miss it. That's coming up next. Thanks, Steve. Right here on the Travel Guys.
Far, we've been traveling far. Without a home, but not without a star.
It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And in the background, it's the Nut Rocker and it's the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And if you are familiar with our radio program, you can pretty much guess that if that's going on, it must be that time of the year to take some time out and spend some time with our friends at Trans-Siberian Orchestra, particularly Al Petrelli. Al has been the guitarist and musical director for TSO, since its very beginning, and we're talking 21 years as of 2019. Al, welcome back to the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
Well, thanks for having me back, my friend. How you been, by the way?
I'm doing well. Just living the dream. And this
is
certainly part of it. Getting a chance to spend some time with you, and then can't wait till November the 29th. You got a 3 and a 7:30 show right here in Sacramento at the Golden One. And Al, like I say, mentioned, you've been doing this for 21 years on tour. You guys have performed over 2,100 shows all in all. This year, you're going to do 109 concerts in 66 cities. That's pretty amazing. Are you ready for it?
Yes, sir. I mean, listen, when you think about those numbers, it really is mind-boggling. But what's even crazier is you had said 21 consecutive years of touring. I remember the first tour in 1999 like it was yesterday. You know, 7 or 8 cities on the itinerary, 10 shows, 1 24-foot box truck, a couple fog machines, 2 buses, you know. And look how it's grown up over 21 years of touring and 25 years of recording, Tom. I mean, just think about it. And by the way, what a beautiful new arena you guys have over there. Last year was our first time there, and it was just spectacular. We really enjoyed ourselves because we've been playing the Arco for, I don't know, God, had it been maybe 15 years. And, you know, a brand new building and the people there were awesome. So everything was a home run last year. Can't wait for it again this year.
It's a great sounding building. It makes you guys sound almost as good as you really do. You know how it is. Some places you sound better. Some places they're barns. And the old Arco had its issues. But, boy, we love the Golden One and looking forward to seeing you this year. And this year's tour features some new production, some new songs, and a new take on what's become a tradition for us folks here in Sacramento. Tell us a little bit about the new show this year, Al.
Yeah, well, we're going back to our beginnings. The first show that we had ever done was Christmas Eve and Other Stories. That was the first record we ever recorded, the first thing we presented live. And we haven't done that one in almost 10 years. So I'm thrilled on a musical level to bring this story back to the stage, to reintroduce everybody to the characters that they fell in love with all those years ago. But the crazy part is that with the technology available now, our crew and production heads and Paul's family is putting together things that it wasn't possible to do 10 years ago. So hands down, this will be our biggest, best show ever, musically and visually, and across the board, it's going to be incredible.
Well, for those that may not know, the TSO show, or the rock opera, is based on the triple platinum album by the same name, Christmas Eve and Other Stories, the TSO founder and composer, lyricist Paul O'Neill created. And we lost Paul a few years ago, and it's everybody that's a fan is so pleased that you guys have continued on and just every year make it bigger and better. Are there any, you mentioned some new production stuff. You want to warn us? Should we be wearing, will our Ray-Ban sunglasses work, or do I need to bring my welding helmet?
No, I think the Ray-Bans will suffice, but I don't know what's in store yet. I won't find out until we get to production rehearsals in a couple weeks in Omaha, Nebraska. I turn into a 14-year-old. You know, when I walk into that arena for the first time, because I get so excited to see what everybody's put together and what it's going to look like this year. So we'll move into the Mid-America Center, which is just across the river from Omaha. And we'll set the band up, full production, everything, lights, sound, and pyro, lasers, the moving trusses. And we'll run the show probably 30 or 40 times during rehearsals before opening night. You know, and I had a buddy of mine years ago who said, you know, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So the house lights go down and we do our thing, that it is a perfect first show, because my first show is going to be in Omaha, Nebraska on November 13th. You know, by the time I get to you, maybe it's going to be the 10th or 11th show, but for the folks in Sacramento, it's going to be their first show, and everybody gets a perfect first show, and that's why we rehearse as much as we do.
Al, you know, one of the things that TSO has every year for some time, and that is take some money that they get at the gate and send it to some charities. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's Paul O'Neill, you know, and his family. You know, Paul, his wife, his daughter, they're like the most loving, generous, caring, thoughtful people ever. And, you know, $1 from every ticket that's sold will go back into your community. When I used to, you know, kick around New York City with Paul years ago, I mean, going back to the 80s, every time I turn around, he'd be stopping and reaching into his pocket to hand somebody a 10 or a 20 or a 5 or whatever he had on him. And he used to tell me, you know, that $10 bill is not going to change my life, but it may change this person's day or evening. You know, and if little by little we could nudge people in a better direction, maybe it'll make a better day, a better week, a better month, a better year. And for 21 years, his family has made a point of that, a dollar at a time, a song at a time, a show at a time, whatever it is. They just want to make it a better planet, and I think they're accomplishing it little by little.
Absolutely. My guest, Al Petrelli, guitarist, music director, and original member of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. You recognize him. He's the racehorse-looking guy, thin and lean and mean, with the long dark hair and the guitar slung low. Oh, wait a minute. That kind of sounds like most of the guys in the band, doesn't it, Al?
Pretty much, man. I got a bunch of thoroughbreds on that stage, you know. They're just an incredible bunch of players, and we love what we do so much, and we're just so thrilled and thankful that the folks in your community have embraced us and welcomed us back year after year. You know, and they bring back, you know, family members and coworkers and kids and grandkids and parents and uncles and aunts. You know, it's incredible to watch, man. I mean, like you had said earlier, 21 years. It went by in the blink of an eye, but, you know, every time you and I have this conversation, it's like so exciting to think about what's to come. And then by the time we get to your town, I mean, I just can't believe the turnout and the love and adoration from that community towards the stage.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Al. And I know our listeners appreciate it very much. Once again, Al Petrelli, come then, the TSO, coming to Sacramento on November the 29th. Two shows, 3 and 7:30. For tickets, go to our website, travelguysradio.com, and we'll have a link there. Al, you stay well, my friend, and we'll see you on November 29th. All righty?
All right, my brother. Thanks so much for everything.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week at 3 o'clock. Thanks to Steve LaRosa for his What's Going On and for Al Petrelli, our special guest. You stay well, my friends, and we'll see you next week on the Travel Guys and the TravelGuysRadio.com.